Sura, the human form, is the greatest of Allah's proofs over creation. Surat al-Insaniya, or As-Surat al-Insaniya, hiya akbaru hujajillah ala khamre. So, the human form is the greatest of Allah's proofs over creation. So these require meaning. And the meaning is important, not just me just reading the hadith and then everyone saying Allahu Akbar. It's the meaning which is important here. What is this human form? And then it says, Wahiya. And it is, now it wants to define, this human form, which is the greatest of Allah's proofs over creation. Al-Kitab, it's the book. The book. Don't forget, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Just have that in mind. Wahiya al-Kitab, it's the book. Alladhi katabahu biyadih. The book which Allah has written with his hands. This is very important now. This is something which Allah has written. What is this book which Allah has written and which is the greatest of proofs and which is the human being? It has two definitions, and they're both the same. It's just two aspects of the same definition, what this book is. But just one note on surah, because the tradition started as surah to insaniya. The surah, or form of a thing, of any X thing, is when that X has reached actuality. It's exited its potential state. And it's reached its actual state. So the surah or form of an apple seed is the fine fresh apple. That's the surah of the apple seed, or of apples in general. But once it decays now, or even before that, where it's a seed, growing plant, and all that now. This.
Allah
subhanahu wa
ta'ala
in the hadith,
yes,
said,
Allah created insan ala
surati.
So
yeah.
Which one is that?
I was going to say that, but you're stealing my words now. Yes, I sound, well done, yes. I'll come into that, yes. Okay. Well done, yes.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
So the surah or form of the apple seed is the apple. The surah or form of the human is when the human is an actual human being. And that's something divine. Because now we're potential human beings. I want this to dissolve gradually. I don't want to go too fast at all. You're getting the wrong message, aren't you? Yes. It's the book. The book which Allah has written. Now, what is this book? It's a book which each one of us has inscripted within us. And that's the fitrah. Or you can say it's the soul, the spirit, the essence of what we are. It has a kind of hardware. With that hardware, the fitrah, all the groundwork, all the preliminaries are set for you to become, from that potential human being, an actual human being. Everything is there though. Allah's written it. and was given that divine code to Adam and Eve right in this book of existence, which is the greatest of Adam's proofs of the creation. Now, this potential has been described in different ways in our traditions. This is what the brother was alluding to. One tradition, I'll mention his tradition first, so his relief. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ آدَمَ عَلَى صُورَتِهِ. Allah has created Adam, and Adam means us too, descendants of Adam, based on his image, Allah's image. The Christians have this tradition too. We have it too. I don't know how they interpret it. Maybe they interpret it like us. But what this means, Allah has a number of attributes. You have the potential, because these attributes are inscripted in you also. You have the potential. Focus, not to be distracted. You have the potential too to acquire all those attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's created you in His image. All the attributes here, you can acquire them too. And that's the definition of awraba, proximity. But we don't have to go there yet. Other traditions? ما خلق الله شيئا أشبه به من آدم. Allah hasn't created anything more like Himself than the creation of people, Adam. We are the most similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, whatever is a manifestation of Allah's attributes. One or two of them, three of them, four of them. We, though, as humans, have been encoded with a book, and we are the book. And this book has the potential that we can acquire all those attributes, not only one or two. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ آدَمَ وَأَوْلَادَهُ عَلَى صُورَةِ الرَّحْمَنِ. Allah has created Adam and Adam's descendants based on the image, His image of Ar-Rahman, which is an incredible attribute, because it means universally merciful. We have that potential. But then that same book, another aspect of it, and that's what really is important for us today in this world, is this book needs writing it. It needs a writer. This book has to be filled in order to reach that surat al-insaniyah. That writing occurs in this world. Inna dunya mazlatul akhirah. The world is the hereafter's farm. But it's the world which is the hereafter, because everything is done here. The form is you, that book of existence. The former is you, the agent who's doing the acting. The seeds are you, your actions. So this book of existence, which is Surat al-Insaniyah, needs writing. And that's what we have to do. Kutiba alaykum siyam. Written upon you, the soul, the book of existence, written upon it, is fasting. Fasting is part of that code within us, that hardware. You act, you write in the book, you fast, and you will be more and more closer to become a true human. Okay, now, this actualizing is difficult. There's no doubt about it. It's something very difficult to open form, for it to manifest, for it to be actualized. We all just have to strive towards that. We may never get there, it's okay, as long as we're on the path of striving. We just have to abide by the protocols of that hard way. And those protocols is called religion. And siyam, fasting, is just one aspect of that. But it's an important aspect that this verse was referring to. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I said it's very difficult to actualize that book of existence. But Allah has given a commentary, and He has manifested this book of existence for us. And the result of Allah's commentary, Allah's manifesting that book of existence of us, for every human being, when Allah gave a commentary of it, the result was two things: the Holy Quran and the cosmos. Whatever's in the Quran, whatever's in the cosmos, are manifestations of Allah's attributes, all of them. And all those are in that book of existence which lies within each and every one of us. You want to know who you are? If someone asks you, what is man? What is human? Just say, look at the Quran, look at the cosmos, and that's me. Now, yes, I may be an animal in action. I may be weak, but that's the potential man has. Being the Quran and being the cosmos. That's why the cosmos can't exist without the Imam. Has to always be an Imam on earth. Doesn't make sense without an Imam. So you discover that in a book and you write in it properly according to protocol, the result is the Quran. The result is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is a product of the perfect human soul. Now this needs explaining. Inshallah, either from tomorrow or the day after, during the nights of Qadr, which is the night of revelation, I'll explain this process of revelation and where some people have just gone wrong a bit in understanding it. It's an important topic. I think it's worthy to share with you. But the perfect human being is that person who is a manifestation of all of Allah's attributes. That book of existence has been written to the letter, as it should have been, and therefore from a state of potentiality, one reaches as an actual human being, the soul, the perfect human being. Another interpretation of Laysa Kamithlihi Shay. There's nothing like him, nothing like Allah. Here, some urafa, they become sensitive, the urafa, with these prepositions. The verse says, Laysa ka mithlihi shay. It should be translated like this. There's nothing like Allah's like. That's the definition, translation. What happens usually in the Qurans and the translators, they say there's nothing like him. They don't translate the kaf. They don't translate the ka. Ka means like. Mithr means like. Laysa ka mithlihi shay. But they translate there's nothing like him. So we ask them, what's the kaf they're doing? The preposition kaf. That means like too. They say that just emphasizes. It's an emphatic, superfluous preposition, emphasizing the myth. So there's nothing like him, nothing. But some of us say, no, there's no need to do that. What you want to emphasize? emphasize. Use it, it has a meaning. Suddenly the translation becomes different. There's nothing like Allah's like. Who is Allah's like? The perfect human being, the Ma'soom. There's nothing like the Ma'soom. And in our time, it was the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was revealed the Qur'an, a product of that great soul. Then suddenly, every year, the Qur'an is revealed. Who is it revealed upon? It has to be through the perfect human being. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ As it was written, as fasting was written for those before you. Who were those before us? Let's go back. Christians, yes, they had fasting. They didn't have Hajj, but fasting was kutiba on them. Jews, they had it. They had fasting. Abraham's religion had fasting. Go back. Min qablikum. Didn't say until when. Go back. Noah, alayhi salam, Noah, had fasting. Go back. Adam, alayhi salam, had fasting. Go back. Yes. There is no... There's no limit here. Just keep on going back. Before Adam, there were also peoples. They were also written upon things. Things were written upon them. They also had a Sharia. They also had prophets. See, now we're entering another different theme, which I want to open up in next week, but maybe towards the end of the month. The concept of physical qiyamah and how there are many physical qiyamahs separating one cycle from the other, This has to be explained. What qiyamah is. You've been taught things in qiyamah, it's very good, and it's a good start, but ta'ala, go higher. See what the great scholars have said about it. And see how what they have said has practical implications in this world right now for you. But that's just physical qiyamah. The main essence of qiyamah with its practical implications is spiritual qiyamah. That's very important. And even that can be acquired in this world. So before Adam, there were other Adams. Before them, there were others. Just keep on going back. There's no beginning. This just demonstrates the essential role fasting has. To be a human being. Okay, so I'll stop with that clause for now, but we'll come back to it. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that you may acquire taqwa. And that's what I want to speak about, inshallah. We'll start tonight on taqwa. There are 7 degrees, and we'll start one or two of them tonight, and we'll finish tomorrow. And then the day after that, I'll be introducing a tool which helps you to ascend these degrees of taqwa. And the tool is muraqabah. That requires, I think, 2 lectures. I have spoken about it in other places, but not in detail. As inshallah, I'll be done with you. So, we have to, you have to, I have to, we have to write our souls, our books of existence. It has to be written. Fasting is just one example. We are our actions, and we write through our actions in that book of existence in order to actualize the essence of what we are, that Surah Al-Insaniyah, which Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam referred to. Now, in chapter 17, verse 14, just to now, with that introduction, now, some verses of the Qur'an may make more sense. We really have to focus on the heart, on the meanings. Until when do you want to just suffice with the external meanings? Many of you are very young here. That's a very, very good sign. You know, you can really make the most of that book of existence of yours. Chapter 17, verse 14. Iqra kitabak. Recite your book. Now, what's that? Which book is that? Do you think you're going to be given a book for you just to read like this book? It's that book of existence. But what does it mean to recite it? The verse continues, Kafa binafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. Today, your soul suffices. As what? As your reckoner, as your evaluator, as your manifester, as your judge, your book, recite it, it will suffice in relation to now evaluating yourself. Why? Because you were the book. You wrote in the book with your actions, and you are your actions, and those actions will be manifested in the hereafter. Iqra kitabak. It's not a case of now all your actions being written, you know, you're seeing them and then it's put on a scale, which one's heavier. The soul will manifest itself. The soul will be embodied. That will suffice. Kafar binafsik. The soul was the farm. The soul was the farmer. The soul was the seeds through the actions. That will suffice as the evaluator of you in the hereafter. Now read it. This reading meaning that embodiment and manifestations of your actions. Well, in chapter 45, verse 29, Hada kitabuna. Hada kitabuna. This is our book. Referring to that book of existence, the soul. And it will be evident why I say that. Yantiqu alaykum bilhaq, which speaks that book of existence. It's our book. I'm not saying it's our book. Which speaks against you with the truth. The book is speaking against you with the truth for those who have done wrong deeds. Because in the hereafter, it's just those deeds which have been incorporated in the soul, which is in unity with the soul, it's them manifesting now. They're becoming embodied. You be a sinner, it will speak against you with the truth. It won't go wrong. It is you. It's in unity with you. Nothing outside is happening. It's all haq. And it will be speaking against you. Those actions which have been ingrained, they will manifest. And that's the book. It's our book that we created. But look what you've done with it. You didn't write in it what you should have written in it, such as fasting. And then it adds, إِنَّا كُنَّا نَسْتَنْسِخُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. We used to record everything that you did. We used to record all your actions. Because where in the book? What did you write? What did you write in the book? You owe your actions. It's all ingrained in the book. And now it says they're going to get out back.
Okay.
So we have to really see what we're filling this book of existence with. But the aim, la alma contactabo, so that we may acquire tabo. Okay. Now, what is tabo? Every time I give this speech, something happens with the video, or usually never gets completely online or anything. This speech, half of it you can find online, but the other half you can't. And there were people trying to tape it, and for some reason no one's ever succeeded. Inshallah, nothing goes wrong this time. That's Sarah. And that's why they've given me this. When I was in Alabama, a brother sent me this. I said, just record whatever you do and then send it to me. Because of the deficiencies, though. He's in the home now. I don't know if you know him, Mohammed Ozawa. Anyway, taqwa has seven stages. One after the other, gets more and more difficult. The aim is important at the end, but if we don't acquire that aim, don't panic. As long as you're on the way, though. Some of these are very difficult. It requires a lot of practice. But we'll go through them one by one, and I'll give you some stories of the Quran in relation to this. Someone tell me if I'm going overboard or anything. So I'll just continue speaking until someone tells me to stop. So the first degree of taqwa is, and taqwa means, you know, being kind of immunity, being immune from something. Every time you hear the word taqwa, two dimensions of this being immune has to spring to mind. And with every stage here, these two dimensions have to be talked about. One is a refraining aspect, and the other is a controlling aspect. So with each degree of taqwa, you're refraining from something, and at the same time, you're controlling yourself with something else. That's important to bear in mind as an introduction. In the first degree of taqwa, it's the Sharia, as always. Never underplay with the Sharia. It's something so important. You know, if you can, whoever your manager is, 5 or 10 minutes a day, go to their sites, and usually they have English question and answer sections, every day though, for 5 minutes. And go and read some of the fatwas which are, you know, related to you at least. Try and make a bond with the Sharia, it's important. I know many scholars today, they can't present the Sharia to the youth in an exciting way. And it can become very boring just listening to someone just keep on giving a set of rules. Half of it may not even apply to you. The other half of that you don't understand. What remains? Yes. It's important. 5 minutes a day. On issues, and then if you still don't understand the English, well, you know, email people. Alhamdulillah, the Bay Area has produced many good scholars. Recently I met with Mirza Abbas during the camp, very good scholar. Ask him, email him. He's from the Bay Area, he's one of you. He was brought up with you. And then the British stole him. We have Sheikh Salim, Ali, Yusuf Ali, very good scholar. I think Brother Mehdi also, there was a brother, yes, but he went also somewhere else. So, you know, you have good scholars, people have been produced here, alhamdulillah. Speak with them, they want to hear you. And inshallah, there'll be more and more. But Sharia is important. So here, we're refraining from the sins, the Sharia sins, the medical sins. And here, we're controlling ourselves with the wajibat, the obligatory action. This is taqwa of the first degree, and although it's the first degree, it's a pivotal degree without which you can't ascend, but it's the letter of the law. If you act by the Sharia wholeheartedly, and as it should be abided by, the inner dimensions of the Sharia, which is tariqa and haqiqa, will come into play, will be facilitated at least. But that's just the letter of the law, though. There are many people who do all the wajibat, refrain from all the muharramat, but they have very bad ethics. Very, very bad. And I'm sure everyone has come across such people. So it's very foolish to think the letter of the law will be sufficient. Even if they give you a heaven as a result of abiding by the letter of the law alone, it's going to be a recreational heaven, a materialistic recreational, the houris, the food. Someone said in a moment, they said, here's your stable, for example. You're still an animal, though. You'll be given heaven, but you're still an animal. But you have to do much higher than this. That was the first. And since I've spoken about the Sharia quite a bit on different occasions, I don't think it's necessary for me to open anything new here. But then, this has to be mastered though. The better you master this stage, the more easy it will be to ascend with the other stages. Now, the next stage becomes a bit more complicated. Now, don't panic, let me explain everything first. Then, here, in this second stage, you refrain from even the canonical halals. You refrain from that. Except that which has to be done out of necessity. Now, this is something incredible. What do you mean refrain from all the halals? It means those. This classification is a classification given by a Sufi, or a Shia Sufi of 700 years ago, Sayyid Haydar al-Muli. He has his tafsir, it's a very good book. If you can get taught it, it's something very useful. He gives this classification. So here you're refraining from the halals, except if it has to be done out of necessity. Food has to be eaten. Okay, you can't die, so out of necessity you eat it. But the delicate point here is this though. With all these actions, with all these halals, if you do it whilst recalling Allah, that's okay. Do as much as you want. The halals which you're asked to refrain from here, are the halals, like, you know, walking, drinking, studying, working, all these are halal. There are many things in Islam that's halal. But it doesn't mean, you know, one can do all those things and there'll be no Allah in the picture. Playing football, there's no Allah in the picture, usually. But if you bring Allah in when you play football, when you work, when you study, when you eat, when you drink, that you don't have to refrain from those halals. But actions where there's no Allah, and it's halal though, but there's no Allah in the picture, refrain from those, except if it has to be done out of necessity. When you eat, you usually don't recall Allah. But I mean, now you have to, you're starving. You're going to harm yourself, it's okay. You can eat because it's necessary, even if you don't recall Allah. It It's that kind of halal that you have to refrain from. And that's why Islam has given a dua for everything. Just look at the text. Coming out of the house, there's a dua. You're walking, there's a dua. There's some du'as which they divided the day, not the night, into 12 parts. Each part has a du'a. Then you're studying, there's a du'a. You're working, there's a du'a. You're eating, there's a du'a. Why do you think Allah's done that? You don't have to memorize the Arabic. Well, I certainly can't either. He's just recalling Allah though. Toilet, there's a dua. In the bedroom, in the kitchen, you name it, there's a dua assigned. Why? Allah wants you to exercise this habit of recalling Allah in all your actions. This has to be, one has to make an effort. But if you don't, you just do all these halals, walking, drinking, studying, even if you get a good degree, a good job, everything, but there's no halal, it's all futile, it's all void, it's all contaminating the soul when there's no halal in one's actions. Refrain from those halals, which are done halal-lessly. But even with those halal-less, halals, if you have to, then you have to. I have to travel. I can't survive without traveling. Get the car. I have to eat. I'm dying. Eat. I have to do this. It's necessary. Do that. Out of necessity. Now, there's one story in the Holy Quran which highlights this degree of taqwa. And it's the story of Saul, Talut, and Goliath, Jalut. Very important story. Esoteric dimensions are very important to bear in mind. With the Quran, verses of the Quran have esoteric dimensions to them. As they say in Arabic, butun. They all have esoteric dimensions. The Ma'asum has to open those esoteric dimensions for us. And they have in many verses. The scholars, though, are free to explore. And with the help of the logic of traditions and other verses of the Quran, they can speculate on those esoteric dimensions. But they always have to say, maybe this is the case. And Imam Khomeini's Qudsi Hadith, he just read the first chapter. You see, many times he says, maybe this is the case. Maybe. So I'm not saying this is definitive. But this one is something which many scholars have spoken of. فَلَمَّا فَسَلَ تَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ. And when Saul set out with his troops, Saul was a man of God. He wasn't a prophet. He received revelation. It was very divine. And in his army was Prophet Dawood, alayhi salam. Saul set out with his troops, wanting to fight against Goliath. قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ. Verily Allah is testing you by means of a stream. A river, a stream. Then the external story, as history has it, different reports in history, which is good to know. But remember, the Quran isn't a book of history. If you confine the Quran to stories of historical stories, you'll find better books out there in more detail. And that's a pity if you just confine this story to a story in history. That's why it's important that these stories all have a hidden agenda behind it. they all have esoteric meanings, dimensions. Those esoteric dimensions have one agenda again. They want you to eliminate all traces of the ego, but in different ways. Now look how this story opens this aspect of eliminating the ego. So really Allah is testing you with a stream. The story was that they encountered a stream. Saul said, don't drink from the water. Keep yourselves. You want to fight battle soon. Don't drink from it. It's a test. And if you want to drink, only drink a handful of water. Only a handful. And then from the 80,000 army, 300 and a bit of the soldiers obeyed. The rest, the thousands, drank from the stream. They were very thirsty. And they kept on drinking. And they became even more thirsty on drinking the water. And that weakened them. And they couldn't fight in the battle. But the 313 did fight. And they won. إن الله مبتليكم بنهر. Allah is testing you with a stream. We have a tradition that says إن الدنيا بحر. Verily, the world is an ocean. فقد غرق فيها جيل كثير. And drowning in it are waves and waves of people. With this tradition, we can slowly get to see what the meaning esoterically of these verses are. Allah's testing you with this stream. What kind of test is this? Okay, the external side put aside now. Now let's go with the esoteric interpretations. Here, the stream is the dunya. It's the world. The worldly life. And the water in the stream is the glitter of the worldly life, which waves and waves of people get drowned in. And us testing you with the stream, it applies talking to us now, these verses. As you know, in the army of Saul. Today, me, you. This world is a test. Also in chapter 3, verse 14, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Made to see to men, to people, is the love of the worldly passions. People get drowned. They forget Allah. They become oblivious to Allah. It's a test. The verse continues, فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever drinks from it, it's not one of us. It's not one of mine. Allahu Akbar. See, you want to be on the party of Allah, on the side of Allah's party? It becomes difficult. Can't get drowned in the worldly life. The world is a test. In one verse of the Quran, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا. We've assigned whatever is on earth as an adornment for it. لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test them, to see which ones are the better, which ones act better. Whatever's on earth, the world, it's a test. Not to say that the world is bad, but your take on the world was bad. That worldly life doesn't exist externally, it's all inside, how you regarded the world. Otherwise, whatever exists on the world is something good. But your take on it was bad. And thus testing you with this stream. Whoever drinks from it is not one of mine. Whoever gets drowned, 5 minutes, yes. Although I can't stop in the middle of this story, so Please give me 5 or 10. Yes. Whoever drinks from it is not one of me. To be on the party, in the party of Allah, you should, can't get drowned in the worldly life. Be in the world, use all everything in the world, but don't get drowned in it. That has a specific meaning, we'll come to it inshallah later when we speak about Muraqabah. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتْحَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. But those who don't drink from it, they are one of mine. They are on the party of Allah. They are lovers of Allah. They are disciples of Allah. They didn't get drowned in the world, right? They were always with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَّا مَنْ اغْتَرَفَ قُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ. And those who don't drink from it, except for a handful of water, that which is necessary. You see, this second degree of taqwa, refraining from the animals, except that which is out of necessity has to be done. It's reflected here. فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُ.